it's Bree, and my show, Bree TV, is now on the After Party every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on the B-side. Tune in and call in so we can talk about everything from relationships, religion, politics, sex, travel, or gardening. Remember, Bree TV every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the After Party. See you at the party.
You are tuned in to the B-side on THAAfterparty.com.
Mine is my mental source of play. A ghetto sauce you are, and I'll be your sexual chocolate bar. And I gotta keep strong for the cause, and you gotta keep strong for the tours. Brother, man, and me, damn the family. What else could we be with no one understands us but me? You were the first to change. Big T, I'm out.
Wednesday night,
at 6 p.m. on theafterparty.com with Bree TV. Hang on a second. I got to adjust my camera because I'm getting too close to cutting my head off. Yep, everything's going bad already again. That would be my laptop acting like it doesn't understand what it's supposed to do. Okay, so listen, here's the deal. Today, I wanted to, I was going to talk to a couple of the guys from Lakeside, and kind of got sidetracked. One of them had some stuff going on, so I got one of the dudes from Lakeside, but we're going to talk. We're going to get more into Lakeside a little bit today, but more next week when Fred Alexander joins us. But today, we have the incomparable Ella Fitzgerald in studio with me. Just kidding. It's Eddie G. Hi, Dwan. He is a local legend. I think. Born in Chicago. Well, you, my friend, Eddie G, you, where you're from, and cause I,
you know,
he grew
I'm
up in
Chicago, Illinois.
Now, tell us about yourself, Eddie G.
What'd you say?
I said, tell us about yourself.
Right.
Eddie. Okay, Eddie G. All right. Hello, everybody.
What's your daddy's name?
Big Eddie G.
Okay, son of Eddie and Yvonne.
Born in Chicago, Illinois. Grew up Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, freeze. You know what I'm going to ask you about Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Because you know that's one of the things that I like to hear you talk about.
Okay.
And for look, full disclosure, Eddie and I dated a million years ago. He is one of the funniest, nicest people. You know I'm going to say it. He's one of the nicest people that I know. And particularly if I dated him and I still talk to him, then you know he's nice. Most of the time, I don't want to be bothered too much with him. But
I'm doing good, guys.
Right. Eddie's a really good dude. But he has some he always tells like really good stories to me or interesting stories. Because if you're in my age bracket or our age bracket, I guess, then particularly because he's a singer, there's just lots of good stories. So I will tell you that when I was talking to my girlfriend in the car on the way over here, and she has heard me speak of Eddie in terms of Lakeside, which we'll get into. But she was asking me how I met him. And I go, well, actually, I was on a date with somebody else. And it's weird because I rarely date like that. But it was I used to be in the military, as some of you all know, and it was a guy that he was stationed, I think, at the Army post when I was in the Air Force, and we were in Washington State. I just happened to see him down here. No big deal. It wasn't like, oh, I want to date you, like seriously date you. He just asked me if I wanted to hang out, so I was like, yeah. So we went to hang out, and we went to Phenomenon. It may have even been a second date, but I thought it was funny because the first day we went to Dave and Buster's, and he was telling me how he shot 272 consecutive free throws. Yes, I still remember the number because I was like, wow, is this what you take a girl on a date to do? Okay, whatever. It's cool. So the second time we went out, we went to Phenomenon, and there, you know, they had three different rooms in Phenomenon, and so they had this room upstairs. So when we go in, there's this band playing, and like a lot of people, I like live music, but I want to hear a really good band. So this band was Phenomenal. Not that the club was named after them, but the band was Phenomenal. So there's this dude that's singing, and I'm like, who is this joker? He was killing it. Then he tricked me, and I dated him for 3 years, and this is some bullshit. So, look, he tricked me, I dated him, and we broke up, and now we're friends. How about that? So I get stories, and because even when we dated, we were always friends, and there was stuff that was always funny, and we would always do really funny, cool stuff together.
Always.
So I would get stories from him. And one, I don't know what the deal was in Texas, because I grew up in Kansas City. I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. the Mighty Mo. And at the time when I was in high school, and probably 5 or 6 years or so before, there were some super groups, which Lakeside is one of those super groups, Parliament, you know, the funk bands, whatever. But there was a group of siblings that, like, hit the music world, and everybody was amazed, especially if you like light-skinned boys. And they were okay, but I've never really been a light-skinned guy kind of dude. But I will tell you this, that we went to, there's an amusement park in Kansas City that was huge when we were teenagers, when I was a teenager, and we went out there to see them perform once. And I had a knack for, no matter what, I'd always wiggle down to the front. And so when I get down there, one of those boys, and I don't know which one of them was, didn't have any underwear on, and they had on some kind of jumpsuit, so all his business was sort of kind of exposed. It was hidden behind a very thin piece of material, and I was like, whoa, what the hell is happening here?
Probably was Marty.
Now, I don't know which one it was, but please tell them who I'm talking about.
Folks, she's talking about the DeBars family. I happened to grow up with them in Grand Rapids, Michigan. When I first moved up to Michigan from Chicago, one of the first people that I met was their mom, who used to drive this church van. And used to come around and pick all the kids up in the community to go to the church on Sunday. And that's where I met L, Bunny, Tommy, Marty, Bobby,
Chico,
the whole gang, and been knowing them most of my life, and got a lot of stories.
Yes, he does. Always good, funny stuff. So this, whenever this was, whatever night it was, probably like May or June-ish, July or whenever it was, I was in there. And at the time, I was dancing. So I would rarely like take off work because Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, big nights, you know, whatever. So I would rarely take off work. So this particular night, I go out with this guy. And so when I see them, I was like, I could not believe this band. But this dude has such a great voice. And I like to eat. I know it don't look like I like to eat because I'm not a big girl. But I'm telling you, there's a big girl hiding out in me, and she can cook and eat. But I liken everything to food, and my comfort food is soup. I can eat soup at any point of the year. I got a bowl of lobster bisque in my refrigerator right now that I had yesterday. And the only way that I could describe his voice was, it was like eating, whether you like soup or if you like, you know, if you eat a steak, a really good steak, and however you like it done, it can't be well done, because well done doesn't, it won't happen with well done. But you get a steak that is good and juicy, and when you bite into it, it just fills your palate, your mouth is just full, and you are like, this is the best fucking steak on the planet. That's how I felt about him singing. So it was very, it was just cool. It was kind of being in a space when you see someone that is doing what they're supposed to do, it's really kind of amazing to watch. And this dude sings. And when he sings, you can just tell that it is what he is supposed to be doing. It's that that lightning strike where you know that whatever the universe has made you to do, that is what you are doing.
Yeah.
This dude right here. So
thank you, Bree.
You know, I've told you this before. This is not news. I'm just saying this for people looking, for all three people that are listening to
all
us.
Three.
All three of them. So we went to IKEA today. I made him go to IKEA with me. But his, you tell how you started singing. Just go on with your stuff.
Basically, growing up, being around my family, I had a bunch of people in my family that were musicians and singers, and I started off listening to my uncle in Chicago. They had a group, a singing group called the Notations. And so I would watch them rehearse every day, and one day I got up the nerve to ask them if I could be in that group. Now, I was about 8 years old, And I asked my uncle when he told me that I was too young, and I bust out crying. Started crying, and I told him, one day, I'm going to get big enough so I can be in your group, man. You watch and see, you know. But anyway, just watching my uncle growing up, he inspired me to want to be a musician and wanting to be on stage. And that's all I've ever wanted to do. And like Bree was saying earlier, it's just natural. I wouldn't know anything else to do but sing and be creative and produce music. That's it. That's my comfort zone. That's what I enjoy doing. And that is what is most easiest for me to do.
And he wears skinny jeans.
Ah, you gotta keep your swag. You gotta keep your swag, Brie.
You know, most people, but you know, yeah. Most people hate to see dudes. Like, a lot of women hate to see dudes in skinny jeans. They just hate it. You are the only dude I know that can pull off skinny jeans.
Because I'm skinny.
Well, hell, some of them other people wearing them are skinny too. Shit, I don't mean nothing, but he wears skinny jeans, so he's like, he's the cool dude. And I hadn't seen him in a while, and so I showed up. You know, this is gonna turn left so fast. But I went to they play the brunch Sundays at Truth. So I decided, you know, I'm kind of a homebody, so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go hang out. So I go in there. I haven't seen him in quite some time, actually, but I go in and he has dyed his little goatee blonde, and he just thinks he's so fucking slick. He thinks, talking about, it's rock and roll, baby. It's rock and roll.
It's rock and roll.
Whatever.
It ain't nothing if it ain't rock and roll. Always keep your swag. Always.
Well, most people got to get their swag before they worry about keeping it. Shit. So anyway, so look, I'm gonna tell all your stuff too. His sister sings. I've never met his sister, but I met his mother, and she loves me. But his sister sings.
You're the only one she loves.
And I have no idea why. Yeah. I don't know what I did. He would ask me, what did you do to my mother? I don't know what I did to your mother. I was just nice to her. Which is really funny because, you know, I told you.
She don't like nobody.
Well, the funny thing is, though, you know, at the time that I was dancing, and his mother's religious. Well, my logic was, she's not my mother, so I'm not lying to her. I didn't lie to my mother when I was a dancer, so I'm not lying to your mother that I'm dancing. If she got a problem with it, that's her problem. That was my attitude, and I wasn't, like, giving off attitude, but that was just my attitude about it. And so when she asked me what I did, I told her I was a stripper.
And she found that amusing, too.
And for whatever, it didn't. I figured she'd be put off with it. She wasn't put off. And then they were performing somewhere or other. He went out of town, like, say, if he left a Friday night, you know, and came back Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening or whatever. So his mom stayed with me. And we had a stir fry.
So, in other words, when I got back, she converted my mom.
I didn't convert her to anything.
Well, I mean, she was just. She doesn't take to a lot of people, but she took to you, Brie.
Which is amazing to me, because I didn't do anything to your mom. But
whatever you did,
she had a healthy dose of Brianna.
You did it.
And she survived.
Yeah, you did. So she loves you to this day, too.
I have to call your mom, because our birthdays are very, very close, and I hadn't talked to her in a few years. But so at one point, Mr. Guyton here, well, first of all, I purposely don't date athletes. I don't date entertainers. I never have. It's never been anything that I've been interested in. This is the first and only. And very interesting, because, you know, I would always go listen to them play because, you know, it's just a good time. It's a great time to listen to them play. So I would go out, and I had a couple of encounters with some young ladies that were interested in him and wanted to know who I was. But I just thought it was very interesting, kind of the way he handled it, the way I looked at it. And just, it was kind of like an insider's view on dating a musician or a singer. So I cannot tell you how many times that I've been out and somebody has asked me, do you sing to me at home? When you guys are at home, does he sing to you? First thing, we don't live together, so whatever. I go, not really. Sometimes we sing in the car.
Yeah, we did a lot of that.
Yeah, when we drove to get your daughter in the hurricane, remember, in Louisiana?
Exactly.
We sang all the way down and all the way back, because I will karaoke your ass off. I will karaoke the shit out of everything. I will sing in the shower. I will sing in the house. I will not, beyond karaoke, I will not sing in public. Though I am going to that place on Sunday, because if that fat dude got to sing and he did what he did, I feel like I should be able to do it. Oh, man. I think that's fair.
You're gonna sing? You can sing.
If you practice
there's
with me.
Look, I've always told you that there's a singer somewhere inside of you hiding that's just waiting to bust out.
Mm-hmm.
He is. Mm-hmm. You love to sing.
Right, but I sing where people can't hear me.
Yeah, you can sing.
Well, but after I saw that dude down there singing on Sunday.
They gave you some encouragement, huh?
I'm confident now. I can do it. Because I was like, what the hell? What is this? Is this what they doing around here? You talking about this is the hood. I'm like, okay, whatever. So give me some background, because you know I love to hear the DeBarge stories. I like to hear the stuff, and you know, well, it was a few years ago, but Chico DeBarge was on tour with my favorite R&B singer Joe.
So, yeah.
Woo!
They're good buddies.
That boy can get it twice.
As a matter of fact, growing up in Grand Rapids, I can remember Chico watching me play the congas and the bongos. And, you know, growing up, they were kind of, I said, they were very poor growing up. And Chico wanted a pair of bongos to play. And I end up giving him my congos. And to this day, he always tells me, he said, man, you gave me my first pair of congas, man. And I'll never forget it, man. Thank you. I love you, man.
Well, tell them what you told me the other day about L when he was playing at the Verizon Center. Or whatever. Oh, is that what it
okay,
is?
Okay, yeah. He calls me up, and he said, hey, man, meet me down at Soundcheck. I'm playing on the same show with New Edition. So I get down to the Verizon Center and walk in. On the stage is Bobby Brown and L. So I asked L, I said, hey, man, where's the rest of the band at? He says, oh, I fired them. It's just you and I tonight. And sure as everything, I played drums, and he played piano, and we performed. And it was a great show. We had a good time. But L is just one of those artists that you just never know what you're going to get. But that's what makes him who he is. And he's funny, hilarious.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. He's working a lot. And he hasn't missed too many shows. He used to miss a few, but so far this year, he's doing good. He hasn't missed any, so.
Doing good. Tell me how, because you played with Don Diego.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up playing with Don? Because you were fairly new to Dallas then. Yes or no, I think?
Yeah. I had, actually, I just moved up to Dallas. And the guitar player for Don is at that time, his name was Butch Bonner, and he kept asking me to come out and jam with him. I turned him down a few times, and finally one night I called him up. I said, hey, man.
Why'd you turn him down?
I just got off the road with L and them, and I was kind of a homebody. Just was trying to relax from the road and just chill out for a minute. And so finally one night I called him up. I said, hey, man, is that Invitation still open to jam? And he said, cool, come on out. So.
Tell it like you told me.
Okay, I'm going to tell him like I told you. So I packed up my drums and put them in my van, and I...
That's creepy.
Yeah. I proceeded to go out to Phenomenon, the club. But what happened was I got there before the guitar player got a chance to tell Don that I was coming out. So I walked in, and Don Diego's on stage setting up, and I said, hey, man. I said, Butch sent me, man. He said it was all right if I sat in with you. So Don, he looks at me, and he just goes off on me. Man, this ain't Butch. Blip, band, this is my band. He can't book you or tell you to come out. So he looks me up and down, and he has this look on his face, and he finally looks at me and says, "Okay, man, go ahead and set your stuff up." So I start setting my stuff up, and about 15 minutes later, Butch walks in. And so him and Don are having a conversation about me. So finally the set starts, and we're jamming, and Butch says, "Hey, man, let him sing one." So I start singing Marvin Gaye's song, "What's Going On." Halfway through the song, you know, crowd gives me a standing ovation. And Don looks over at me and says, "Hey, man, I'm sorry." And the rest is history, because off and on, I've been playing with Don ever since that moment for about the last 16 years? About 15?
No, it's been longer than that.
Longer than that?
I got to Dallas in 98. I met you in 2000. You were playing with him when I met you.
About 17 years then.
20.
Really?
Close to 20. What is this? 20? Yeah, 17.
About 17 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how it started. You know, he gave me a good cussing out. And and put me in my place. And then apologized to me at the same time.
Behind his hand, though.
Behind his hand. I'm sorry. But Don is my brother. We're real good friends, and he's hilarious.
So off and on with Don for 17 years.
17 years here in Dallas. And then been just doing my own thing. You know, Don is still doing Stone Trail. And
oh, my God, I went in there.
Stone Trail?
I haven't been there in a long time, and I went in looking for Nate on a Saturday night. Only to find out he doesn't play with him on Saturday night.
Right, right.
So I was like, okay, I'm in. You know, I just hung out. And I saw a friend of mine from college, so I hung out with him for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Trail is interesting still.
It's not the same audience that it used to be. Mm-mm. When we first started out playing there. It's,
well, it's probably people that are maybe about the same age. They may be in the same age within a few years of that age bracket, but that generation of people are different.
Yeah.
They're a little different.
They're a little younger, too.
Yeah, because if you figure, we haven't dated in like 13 years or something like that, and you were playing there a couple years before we stopped dating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 15 years ago. So they're that's a little different than, you know what I mean? When they come up, the stuff is different. It was dudes standing on the dance floor. I was like, how am I supposed to get my wiggle on if y'all in the way? What is going on here? And they had, couple folks had ponytails. I was like, oh, and they were boys. I was like, ooh,
yeah. It's completely turned over. It's much different. I haven't been there in a long time either. But
it's still not a bad venue. It's a nice venue, but, you know, a million years ago, remember when it was a supper club?
It started off as
a supper club. And you could go in and get dinner and listen to you guys play, and it was like free to get in. Then it was $5 to get in. And then when Tony figured out, wait a minute, these black people pay money to get in here, he cut out the dinner, jacked the price up to what, 20, 10, 20, what is it?
It's like about $15 to get in.
15, whatever it is. He jacked the price up, didn't have to worry about buying food anymore. And it was open Tuesday through Sunday,
well,
maybe?
Actually, when we first started out, it was open Wednesday through Sunday. Yeah.
Well, he shut down Wednesday and Well, after a while, he shut down Wednesday and Thursday and Sunday. So he does Friday and Saturday nights,
Friday,
basically.
Saturday.
And I'm like, he is making a killing.
Well, he still has people lined up outside to come in.
Right.
And that's a testament to what we started. We brought in good music and entertainment, and people appreciated it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if I ever have people come in from out of town, guess where they going?
Stone Trail.
Pretty much.
All right, that's right.
Less work for me. So now, can you tell me how you ended up with Lakeside?
Whoa. Actually, the drummer, Fred Alexander, lives right here in Dallas. And, you know, by me playing locally here in Dallas, he used to come out to a lot of the clubs that we played at just to check out live music and some of the live local entertainment. And he used to come out and see me and Don play.
Did you know him before?
No, I didn't know Fred before.
Did you know who he was? To see him, did you know who Fred was?
No, I didn't. When he came in the club, and Don used to announce, Fred Alexander, Lakeside drummer, is in the house, you know. And that's when I finally, you know, visually saw who he was. And after that, you know, he would always, when they came off the road, he would come to wherever we were playing at and check us out, and, you know, just check out some of the musicians and stuff. And we kind of, you know, we became friends, you know, because, you know, I used to ask him about, you know, Lakeside's history and, you know, how they became who they were. And he was always willing to give me that insight and to let me know whatever I needed to know that was going on in the industry that he was doing at that time. And so we became friends. Anyway, he used to always tell me, he said, man, you'd be a good fit in Lakeside. And I was like, wow, you know, I thought about it. I said, yeah, but that'll never happen because you guys have a lead singer already, you know. And so this went on for like about 5-6 years. He'd come in off the road. He'd come and see us. And he would tell me the very exact thing. Man, you'd be a good fit for Lakeside. So flash forward, how many years later?
Six-ish?
Let's say six.
Six or seven?
Seven, yeah. He comes in one day, he says, man, we're having trouble with our lead singer, man. He wants to go solo, and he wants to do his own thing. So me, I'm trying to be the optimist in the whole thing and say, hey, man, you guys going to work it out. Y'all get it together. You guys been together like 35 years, man.
Because he's not a snake. This is how nice he is. Because a snake would be like, dude, you know you can call me.
Yeah. But I really was. I was trying to convince him that they could work it out. So I say about 6 months later, he came in and he said, hey, man, here's a plane ticket and here's a DVD. Be in St. Louis in 2 days. And it just blew me away. I was like,
you had to go learn the moves?
Yeah, so I took the DVD, and I'm in front of my big screen doing all the moves and, you know.
New Edition style?
Oh, man. Well, they had some different kind of stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, they really did. But anyway, I got to the gig, nailed it. I really didn't have a lot of rehearsal time. But for me, stage is a stage, and when you're prepared – and the opportunity comes, you just go with it.
And you're good. You're probably not going to say that. I know you won't say it. He's really good.
Oh,
like,
Brie.
Really, you know, so you're
Brie,
good.
You make me feel so good, man.
Yeah, but you're humble. You know, that's a cool thing about you. Well, I don't know if you know that or not, but that's a cool thing because you're humble. You're not the dude that you never walk around and like, he don't know who he fuck talk to. Like, that ain't you. That's probably
no, that's not me.
That's probably me.
That's not me. That's not me.
I'm probably that asshole.
You know I'm not going to do it like that.
Yeah, no, that's not your deal. Now, we're going to get back to this Lakeside thing, but you know I have to tell you, because I really think this is funny, and I'm trying not to say it, but it won't go away.
Uh-oh.
So, Montana, listen to this. While we were dating, like the whole time that we dated, chicks flirted with Eddie. I didn't really care. I mean, he's still good looking. He's sexy. He's great, and he can sing. So he can sing and panties start flying from wherever they flying from. Do you remember that time you guys were singing the Stone Throw and I had gone to Walmart and bought those really big leopard panties and I threw them at you?
Yes,
do you
I
remember
did.
That's
so
funny. Anyway, I thought that was a good deal. So they were in Stone Trail one night playing. And when I walked in, like my girlfriend dated and eventually married Don, the band leader. So...
which one?
I'm not getting into all that. I only have right, one friend kidding. That was married to Don. I don't know anything
know
about the rest of them
about.
Girls.
I know, you're talking about.
I know you know about. Who I'm yeah, talking yeah, yeah. about. So there was somebody, the dance floor is full of people. Somebody's dancing around in front of him. I see the girl when I walk in. I don't really care, though, because whatever. So he sees me and starts looking at me like we're kind of laughing. Because at one point I had my first company that I put online, I had an internet launch party at Phenomenon, and you know, I had people come in from out of town. And so he was up there and he was performing, and out of nowhere in the middle of him singing, he was like, ah. So of course I look, because I'm like, he's in distress. What is going on with him? So he goes on, does whatever. And when they finish their set, he comes over there and tells me it's the big girl on the floor, and she basically stuck her tongue in his belly button. Right. Oh, right. That's the kind of bullshit that was going down. I was like, what the fuck? Why would you put your... Most people don't even think to wash their goddamn belly button, and you put your tongue in a stranger's belly button. Oh, God. It was a mess. So anyway, we're in Phenomenon. So when he sees me, and we would always laugh and joke about whatever, anything could be going on, but we were the couple that like to communicate with our eyes and look. So he's looking at me, and then she realizes he's looking at something else, so she turns around to see. So she then sees me. So my girlfriend and I go, and we sit at the same table that we always sit at. We're there. It's no big deal. It's not a problem. It's no big deal. So this chick evidently was drunk. And she was about it. He was her dude, evidently, and I was encroaching on her territory. So he comes over, he's talking to me, and he would go stand like in the same little spot between sets. So when he got off stage, he came over and always sit down, talk to me for a minute. You know, he go walk off, whatever. Maybe I go over there, whatever, whatever's going on. So I go over there, and she's over there talking to him. So I'm just like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. He and I talk or whatever, and he wanted a beer, so I get him a beer, and then we walk off. So she's standing there. Well, then, like, the next break, he's standing at the bar. I go, well, first of all, I went into the bathroom, and she follows me into the bathroom. Right. I'm like, listen, don't you let these conservative clothes get your face bashed in, because that's what's about to go down, baby, because you don't even know. So I'm in the bathroom, and there's another woman in the bathroom. So this chick says something to me, whatever. I don't remember what she said. So I'm washing my hands, and the other woman is looking at me like, what the fuck is going on? I said, I don't respond to people who want to be where I am. put the paper towel in the trash, and I walked on out the door. I'm trying to let you know to knock it off. So I go outside. He's standing at the bar. I walk out the room to go to another room. When I come back in, she's between he and the bar. This is why I was going to bust his head open down to the white meat that day. Because she writing down her phone number to hand it to him. He took the phone number. Now, I'm standing behind him. So I reach over him, take the piece of paper, ball it up in the trash, shoot a jump shot. Now, we about to get busy. Because everybody going to get beat up. Him, you, everybody's going down today. So she gets mad and starts going off of me, talking about, who are you? I said, don't worry about who I am to him. Know who and what you are to him, and that's nothing. She keeps going. I tell you, when I tell you that this girl, there was a stairwell, I backed up in the corner of the stairwell, because I'm going to back up and make sure you can't get behind me, and I'm going to put my foot on this wall and project. I'm going to push off and hit you in your face is what I'm about to do. So I swear when I tell you, you know I was going to. I swear when I tell you that this girl started stretching. And I mean, she was she was stretching, like doing lunges. And I was like, this bitch is drunk.
She got to a kung fu stand.
Right. I'm about to kick this bitch down these steps because she is really tripping. And she had like a friend that was there. And her friend would like say little stuff, but she never really committed to getting in the middle of it. That's fine. I don't care. You go ahead. Because I promise you, we gonna set it off in this piece if you try it. I was ready to throw her down them steps. I was like, she gonna wake up and have lumps all over her, be like on cartoons. She gonna be them broke up into five pieces and not know what the hell happened. So the next thing I know, before she gets close enough for me to be able to push myself off the wall and punch her, here comes my girlfriend with Junior.
Uh-oh.
Big, dark-skinned guy. Here comes my girlfriend with one of the bouncers. And so Junior comes up the steps, and it was 27 steps, I knew, because I walked up them enough times, and I was about to push her down them. And I said, I swear I was. And because at this point, I'm mad. And I was mad at him because he took the phone number. But I don't know, you know, he could have took it and threw it. I don't know, but I just happened to be standing there when he took it. And I'm mad at her because I walked up behind him and put my chest on his back and then had my arm on his chest. You see me talking to him. You see me touching him, which lets you know this ain't no casual shit. Keep it up. I'm trying to communicate to you and give you a way out. When I tell you, Junior came up here and he came upstairs and he had to throw the girl out and she was complaining to him. I don't know why I have to leave. And he was like, listen, this is his girl. She's in here every week. We never have a problem with her, so it has to be you.
Right.
He had the nerve to be mad at me.
Well, I was mad because I didn't want no drama.
Well, what I don't care. You shouldn't have took her phone number. You should have dissed and dismissed her. You asked for it. He says,
did not ask for that.
You did too. He said, he said about something about me embarrassing him. I said, first of all, before I worry about embarrassing you, I don't want to embarrass anybody that had a hand in raising me or myself. But then he also didn't know what the girl was doing. He didn't know that she had been following me around the club. And I told him, I said, you know I don't act like this in public. So if I'm out in public ready to fight, you better get whoever I'm ready to fight. He was like, what? I didn't. Of course you didn't. Oh, my God. That girl. They never know. And so okay with this phone number business. No. No, you with the big dog. You can't take puppy phone numbers when you with the big dog. That can't happen. Oh, man. I was ready to get everybody that day. Her, him, anybody that looked like they wanted to say anything crazy. I was going to scratch everybody
but
up.
But we had a happy ending.
Shut your mouth. You're stupid. we probably went to my place. I had to tell him what she was saying. He was like, well, I didn't know that she was doing all that. I was like, dude, come on, seriously? What the hell? And people would ask me, and generally speaking, I didn't have a whole lot of problems with women with him, because for the most part, women are very respectful. That girl was just really drunk, and it just turned out to be
she was very
intoxicated. But you know how you fool with drunk people, and they keep talking and keep doing shit, and you don't want to beat them up, but they just push you to the point where you got to punch them. That's where she was. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to be in public acting a fool, I'm going to beat the dog shit out of you.
I'm glad you didn't push her down the steps.
She'd have got closer, I would have.
That was a long way down.
She'd have gotten closer. Fucking stretching. I don't know what you're doing over there playing like this is some kind of game. So that's our one incident. We had another one, but I won't tell you that one.
No, don't tell them that one.
You didn't have anything to do with that, so I could in general tell.
No, I don't want you to tell anymore.
No more? None? That was it. It was only like two, I think. Those are the only two I remember.
Is this a good one?
Face screwed up if you listen on the radio. We weren't even together.
Okay.
That was that deal I told you when I was at Stone Trail, and it was like I was with like a table full of people. It was like six or eight of us at a table, and your little friend with the dreadlocks came over talking to me.
Oh, yeah.
That want to know what my relationship was with you. Yeah. So what are you talking about?
I just have that effect. I don't know what's going on, man.
Well, they're going to take some licks. They're going to quit fooling around with me about that. But just want to know what my relationship was. I was like, what? First of all, don't ask me. I said, oh, no. I looked at her and turned around, and she kept talking. And I said, you know what? I do not discuss grown people's business with children. Go someplace and have a seat. I laid into that poor child, and I was doing it as a favor. But, yeah. We really didn't have that. It really wasn't that bad. But that girl doing all that stretching was kind of funny.
That was funny.
Not in the moment. It was funny afterwards. But in the moment, I was really mad about that, because I was like, seriously, I can understand if you don't realize he got a chick. But then once you see him talking to me, once you see us together and you know, and you're just going to keep going, you're going to be an AA with some lumps on your head.
Well, you know, now that I'm having a visual of that incident, the stretching part and the kung fu stance was funny.
Because who does that? And then when she got thrown out, her friend acted like she didn't know who she was. My girlfriend was like, her too. And she was like, no, I wasn't involved with that. Her friend left her, hung her out to dry.
Yeah, she hung out to dry.
Well, she needs to really stop that drinking. I hope she's gotten some help since then. Well,
that's been almost, 15 years ago?
That's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they're just funny to me. That's hilarious to me.
No, that was funny.
In the moment, not funny.
That one was.
Yeah.
That one was.
In the moment, it wasn't funny because I was mad.
Yeah.
But afterwards, ha, 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 a laugh riot. But in the moment, I was ready to pop her good, too. But
Bree. Don't do it.
But that, you know, that's why that I was never date athletes or musicians or whatever. That's why I never did it, because I can't be that patient. I could not be the chick that every time I look up, some woman is running up on my dude and acting like I'm not there. That's a problem.
No, you know what? That is tough. I mean, it takes a special woman to be able to.
Yes, and you have one
to deal with. To deal with.
Ploom, ploom. I threw him another bus, so that's the bus running him over.
Yes, I just got ran over. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But it takes a guy, the dude has to handle that the right way for a woman to be able to deal with it. Because if you don't handle it the right way, then it's a problem. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. It's just it's something.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. You know, the music industry and
then you're on the road now all the time, which you traveled with Don a little bit, but you're on the road a lot. You're moving a lot with Lakeside.
Yeah. All the time, yeah.
You know, I remember when you were scared to get on a plane, right?
Yeah. Not anymore.
You don't have a choice now.
Yeah, I know it.
He just pops a Xanax now and drinks and wears the rest of the passengers out. Not really. I'm just kidding. But he was scared to fly. For a very long time.
For a long time, I was never comfortable on a plane. And
then he had to.
Well, yeah. And I'm still not. But at the same time, I kind of know what to expect now. You know, like when I feel the plane go through a little turbulence, I'm not as animated as I used to be. So.
Oh, I swear to God, I wish I could be on a plane with you when it hits turbulence and you start screaming.
Ooh, it ain't nice.
Do you white knuckle it? Do you hang on to the armrest?
Yes, I clutch the armrest.
So where have you traveled with Lakeside? You know, I thought it'd been like 3 years that you've been the front man for Lakeside, and you said seven.
It's going on, yeah, seven. 2010, end of 2010 to now, yeah, going on seven. Yeah.
So where did you guys go?
Wherever we're going, we've been everywhere. Wow, we just came back from San Francisco, on our way up to Seattle this Saturday to do a festival up there.
Who have you guys played with?
Because
you know I'm a firm believer in if you're a group that's from probably any group, but because I don't listen to a whole lot of music now, other than what I have to hear when I'm at work. But if you are a good enough group to get a really solid hit, solid two or three hits, then even one really, but two or three hits, then you basically can live off of that because you can travel later. Now, you're going to be gone a lot, but Lakeside is one of those groups where they haven't had a hit in forever. You know, they haven't put out new music necessarily that was a hit, but you all are on the road all the time.
Yeah, because groups like Lakeside, Cameo, Confunction, they have cult followings. Daz
Band.
With Skip, Zap.
With Skip singing with Skip. When You Need the Roses.
They have very, very loyal followings, people that follow them everywhere.
Because they're getting people like me with some of those songs are like Parliament. Some of those songs were a couple years before me, a few years before me, but that's when people who were like in the range of 50 to 55, 60 years old went to prom, they were in high school, they maybe had been in college, so they're getting those people that are what people call older now.
Right.
So they have an older, more loyal following, and if they like me, I generally don't listen to a lot of music now, so that music is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys get someplace and travel and end up with thousands of people showing up for a show, you know?
Also, like old school music, or if they call it retro or whatever, I mean, it's coming back around full circle because you have a lot of the young artists out there now that have sampled a lot of the old school music. So, you know, people come to hear those songs.
Is Zap still touring?
We just played with Zap in Gary, Indiana.
How are they doing without Roger?
They're doing awesome. I mean, the brothers just took up where he left off at. And the great thing about Zap is all of them play different instruments. So Roger was basically a keyboardist, guitarist, but his other brothers played the same thing. So it's like he never left.
So they're still able to make a living then?
Yeah, they do. They do a great job. Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
So again, back to Skip and Daz Band. I need you to request, not that I'm ever going to be at that show, but can you request that he sing When You Need the Roses for me?
I'll request it for you, Brianna. Skip is a very good friend of mine.
Well, can you call him on the phone and have him sing it to me?
Yeah, I will.
Will he do it?
Sure.
You're lying. You know I know you're lying. He's making stuff up. Yeah,
no,
that's
will.
My...
I'll do it for you.
Well, you don't necessarily have to. You know, I don't care about that. But if you want to.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I'm just kidding, unless you're serious.
No, I'm not going to do
I love that song.
That's a beautiful song.
I love
it. But the, when we're on tour, the song that they do the most, they do mostly up-tempo stuff.
And Joystick.
When they do the ballads, they do Heartbeat.
Listen to your heartbeat.
That's the song that now I know I can definitely get a review of that song for
our song. Where is my iPod?
That's a great song.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I mean, When You Need a Rose is great, but Listen to Your Heartbeat is great.
Heartbeat is the bomb. And they do I'm Yours.
Swoop. I'm Yours.
That's their coming out song.
You got me, baby. They do Joystick?
Yeah.
Joystick is great.
Yeah.
That is a great song.
They do a lot of their songs, so, and they got a good show.
Confunction.
Confunction is nice. And they have a great bass player. His name is Eric Young. He goes by the name of his nickname is EQ. And he steals the show. If you ever see their show.
Are they traveling with Michael Cooper?
With Mike. With Mike. And they got a nice show. Nice show. We do a lot of shows with them. As a matter of fact, we're doing Sinbad is having a festival, I think it's September 2nd in Sacramento.
A few weeks from now?
September 2nd, yeah, in Sacramento.
Okay.
And we'll be doing it with Confunction, Zap, I think it's the Barcaze.
I don't know why. I put in my time with you. I don't know why I can't be told about these shows. I don't know why I can't get online and figure out where they are myself either.
And I'm
going to
give you the schedule, man, so you can have it.
Right, because as we've talked about, I used to live in Seattle. That would be a great show for me to go to.
We'll be in Seattle Saturday.
Yeah, well, I won't be.
Emerald City.
I won't be. Go to the Pike Place Market.
Okay.
Where they throw the fish. Yep.
Okay, I'm going
to
catch some.
Go to the Pike Place Market where they throw the fish, and you should record it.
Okay.
Yeah, you should record it and or take pictures of it because it's the market is really cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really cool place.
You used to live there, right?
Yeah, I used to live like two blocks from that market. But it's right, like the front side of it is on, it comes down and it curves like there's no, when you go, if you're going west down into the market, there is no out to get, you can't get out going west. You have to turn to the right or, you know, go whichever. But you have to turn, so because behind it is the water.
The water, okay.
It's.
Where, is that the Pacific?
Elliott Bay, Puget Sound, Elliott Bay one.
Okay.
But yeah, there's, it's, and if you get down there, if you get a chance to be down there, like during the, like when the sun is going down, beautiful. Or just to look at the sun off the water. They used to have sea lions down there that they would try to run them off because they would eat up all the fish. They were just assholes.
Wow.
And would eat up the fish, and they were aggressive.
The sea lions were
aggressive because they, like, sometimes they would be down there and, like, people would throw stuff for them to eat. And, you know, of course, they tell you not to feed them. But basically, they would just hang out right there because there's fish and there's people and there's whatever. So they would just be there. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to, you know, they'd shoot rubber bullets at them. They'd do all kind of stuff to get rid of them. Yeah, it was, But Seattle's nice. And actually now, it's really nice because they're having a heat wave where it's like 100 degrees up there.
If they had done
this 25 years ago, I might not have left.
It rains a lot there, though, right?
Yes, it does. You know, it actually in Seattle it rains the same amount that it rains every place else. Mm-hmm. It just does it over more days. It's a drizzle.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you get a heavy rain, but a lot of times you just get a drizzle and it's gray and overcast and it's kind of like really. They have that seasonal affective disorder, or called SAD.
Yeah.
A lot of people are depressed because of the weather. A lot of vitamin D deficiencies there. I'm like,
That's beautiful country, though. I stopped through there before. And
It's nice. It's very nice.
It's nice.
Very, very, very nice. It was just, wasn't a place for me to live. I've been in Dallas almost 20 years, 25, probably 27, 28 years ago. I knew 2 years in, I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to go somewhere else. And I went to New York. I went to Brooklyn for the summer. And then ended up back in Kansas City, or went back to Kansas City and ended up staying. But it's really nice. It's really nice. Lots of great seafood.
That's what I want. I'm going to get a chance to go up there and eat me some good seafood.
You're going up on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Yeah, but then you'll come back on Sunday because you're probably going to be a truth again, aren't you?
Yeah.
They should have had you come up on Friday.
Well, I would have. We had a scheduling situation.
Okay, well.
Well, he thought I was playing on Friday, so he left it open.
Yeah, it's really nice, though. But, yeah, I really think that you probably should tell me, because if I get enough notice where I can be off work, I would love. First of all, I've never seen Lakeside in concert.
See, you're missing out.
No,
you didn't come and see your boy, man. What?
Well, first of all, Fred, they were playing in Kansas City.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
He gave a friend of mine and I tickets to go because we were going to be back home for that particular show.
I think I remember him telling me that too.
Yes, and we went to the venue and they had some local rappers playing. And again, not even local rapper, just a lot of rap in general. Most of it I don't particularly care for, primarily because I'm old, and then secondarily because I was around when rap first started, so rap is.
No, you're
a
not
thing.
That old. Stop it. Stop it.
That's a lot of duct tape and bubble gum holding this exterior together. So anyway, we went to the venue, and it was, I don't know what was going on, but they were late getting started, and it was like crazy late getting started, and I was like, okay, they need to nix these rappers, this opening act or whatever it is. So we were sitting there, we were both hungry, and you know when I go home I have certain places that I go to eat all the time. I hit Gates, I hit Gojo's, you know, and I may hit a couple other spots, but those are my two primaries. So there's a pizza place there, and I hadn't been there in years, but it's called Minsky's Pizza. Fantastic pizza. And so we were both hungry and we're like, well, stay and watch the show, we want to get pizza. It was a debate because I'm like, this is taking too long and they're late. This is a late start. I don't know what's happening here, and I don't know if they were waiting for more people to get to the venue. But I'm like, at some point you got to call this because eventually you may not have all the people that you want here, but eventually the people that you have here are going to leave. Because I left to go get pizza. Because I was like, what time is the pizza place closed? So we left and went to Minsky's to get pizza.
So you made a business decision, huh?
Right. I was hungry. And I think we were leaving like the next afternoon or something. But, you know, when I go home, my schedule is always full. You know, they weren't there then, I don't think. But them two little ones of my little brothers take up a lot of time. And so I schedule things basically with the time that I have and then what I have scheduled with the girls, what I'm going to be doing with them. Because if it's family stuff, then obviously they can go with me. But I'm going to a Lakeside concert. I'm not about to be carrying them around because they're going to be asleep. Which you told me is a family-friendly show. I never would have thought to take them to Lakeside.
It really is. I mean, you know, us dressing up as pirates, and it's very colorful.
Montana, I looked at a video of their show, of like a part of their show, and there was a dude in the video. He had on tight red pants. I don't even know what the upper part of him looked like. I never made it past these pants, but he had a big white anchor stitched on the pants and had on like pirate boots and everything. I thought it was him. I thought it was Eddie. So I was like, what are you doing with those pants on? I go, why are you dressed like that? And I know they're supposed to be dressed like pirates, but I'm like, you could have been cooler than that. That's ridiculous. But then he started singing, and I noticed that this dude wasn't holding a microphone, and he was doing the move, so he would like turn around or whatever, and I was like, oh, shit, that ain't even him. I thought it was him in these red pirate
mistaken
pants.
Mistaken identity, yeah. That was funny.
I thought it was you. I was very disappointed in your clothing choice. So we're clear, because I'm already touted you in your skinny jeans.
Mistaken identity.
Well, I never even looked at his face. I don't know why I thought it was you. I just thought it was you. And then I was like, oh, my God, he's got tight red pants.
We're probably the same height, so Otis and I, yeah.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
I guess. Is that who I talked to today?
No. You talked to Will.
Okay, I forgot. That fast. So anyway, back to these shows. So Shalimar,
I grew up with Jeffrey Daniels.
Did you?
Yes, I
did. Do you guys sing with Nasi? I don't
Grand
think
Rapids,
I do this.
Michigan.
Do you? He lives in Japan now.
Oh, he lives in Japan now. He used to come and pick me up for school every morning.
So I don't think that they tour as a group, as the original Shalimar. So,
yeah, they're back together. Howard, Hewitt, Jeffrey Daniels, as a matter of fact, they're on the Sinbad show with us September 2nd.
Jody Wadley?
Not Jody.
Okay, then they ain't, that
Carolyn
ain't the right
Griffey,
deal.
Who is Dick Griffey, Solar Records owner. That's his daughter. They sound
good. Right, because Jody Wiley, for whatever reason, don't want nothing to do with them, and I don't know what that's about. I think that song Friends was about them.
Yeah, they're they got some stuff going on.
They're a little disgruntled. Somebody is.
Yeah.
So, Shalamar, Daz Band, Confunction, Brick.
We did a couple shows with Brick. I'm real good friends with Ray Ranson, the bass player. Yeah.
Who else are you all playing with?
SOS Band.
Really?
Yeah.
Baby, you can do it. Yeah. Take your time.
They're all original band. They're all together.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody's dead?
Nobody. Got a good show, too.
Really? Okay, who else?
Oh, wow. Let me see. I'm forgetting somebody.
Do you...
We did a bunch of shows with the guy, the Cupid Shuffle guy.
Really?
I can't think of his name.
I don't know it.
Cupid, though. I just call him Cupid.
You could have said Michael Johnson, and I would have said okay, because I don't know his name.
Who else? We did Brothers Johnson, Rolls Royce. We did the Soul Train Cruise. We were on there with everybody. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Ohio Players, Barcades, Gladys Knight. Jeffrey Osborne.
I love Jeffrey Osborne.
Daz Band, Confunction. Somebody else.
How many days is this cruise?
Well, the cruise was like 7 days. It was incredible.
Do they put all the acts on the same end of the boat?
No.
You guys are just so you all sleep in gin pop with everybody else?
I mean, everybody. You know, everybody's. Whatever room they assign you to, you know.
So you can be next door to regular people?
Yeah.
Really?
That's how it is.
Hmm.
But the cruise was incredible, man. I mean, from the time we took off from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And they had...
This is the Soul Train?
This was the Soul Train cruise. And they had DJs on, like, it's a two-deck, whatever, the yacht or whatever.
Ship,
yeah. And from the moment we took off, man, it's just jamming. Music blasting on the east floor, and food around the clock. Anything you wanted.
Really?
It's around the clock. It was incredible. I had an awesome time.
I wonder, I think it may be too many groups to, like, could they set up a tour for the groups? Like, say, if they did Lakeside, the SOS Band, Daz Band, Confunction. If they did, say, 7 groups, could they set up a tour, like a national tour?
Who?
Whomever, if a promoter wanted to do that.
Yeah. I mean, if he got the money to pay for it, he could set up 10 groups.
So, when you all are traveling, when you... It's technically, what you're doing is technically not a tour. They're not set dates, correct? You guys get booked by individual people, or you booked, so it's individual people.
It's individual people, and then sometimes we'll hook on with like an act. Say, for instance, Confunction. And they might have like a 10-city tour, and they might want us to open up for them. And we'll do it.
So you guys do all 10 cities?
Yeah, we'll do that with them, you know. And then we have like individual booking agents that book the band.
So you told me earlier, what's the former lead singer's name?
Mark Wood.
Okay, now what happened to him, or do we not need to talk about this? I don't think that it's necessarily bad, but I don't know about it from an industry standpoint because I'm always interested in, like, basically we were talking about it earlier and you were saying that he wanted to do a solo career.
He just, from my understanding, he wanted to do a solo career. And
he's too old for that.
And he felt like, you know, that this was his time. It's...
So not 25 years ago now.
No. Yeah, we saw Charlie Wilson do it. And
Okay, well, Charlie Wilson is the exception to that rule in a major way.
Well, that's what they're saying, is that when he saw Charlie Wilson do it, he lost his mind.
I'm always intrigued with people who are in bands and you make it as a band and that is your bread and butter with that band, and then you want to leave and go solo. And not that it can't happen, not that it doesn't work out, because it does.
Well, people do it all the time. As you know, Lionel left the Commodores. Jeffrey left LTD.
You're just as sweet as peaches and cream. I love him.
I mean, it happens. And you just have to move on when it happens, you know.
Yeah, but they were older. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that Jeffrey Osborne left LTD after 30 years. I don't know he didn't. I'm just saying I don't know that it had been 30 years.
Well, it was 20. But he left. Yeah.
Look, can he sing?
He's still on point. Still on point. Bad boy.
He can't kick you out if he want to come back, can he?
Say what?
I'm looking out for your money. He can't kick you out if he want to come back, can he?
Nah. It's over. It's a wrap. Look, matter. It's a wrap. Yeah. Well, and I say that for this reason. The guys feel like he betrayed them. You know, so.
With the whole Lakeside name thing?
Yes, it's just, it's a lot of bad blood there. That will never happen again. It's bad. It's bad blood.
But that's got to be. It's great for you, obviously, but that has to be to look and know with Fred, because Fred is the original member that I know. I don't know the rest of the dudes, so I don't, whatever. But first of all, Fred is terribly unassuming. You wouldn't think anything about Fred when you see him. You just wouldn't. He does not in any way, and this is not a slight on you, Fred. If you hear this, I swear to God it's not. He's unassuming.
Right.
You don't necessarily look at Fred and think, you know what? That's a badass drummer right there. Right. You don't necessarily assume that with him. So to me, to look, I'd be like, you know, sometimes when I see Fred or when I have seen him out and I'm like, this dude is one of the founding members of Lakeside.
Going down in history.
Fantastic voice. Hey, you said something. They were considering them for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What were we talking about?
Yes, there's been some talk of getting the guys on that
on the ballot?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they do we have many 70s and 80s funk bands in the R&B? Because I don't know how much of a crossover they were. You know, white people like Lakeside?
Yes.
And not the normal three or four that show up to everything we have, even the family barbecues, those white people.
Fantastic Voyage alone. LL Cool J, he sampled it. He sampled one of their songs. Also Coolio.
Okay, Coolio, yes.
Yeah. And they became big hits when they did.
When somebody samples their music and the sampled song becomes a hit, then basically it reintroduces people to the original group. So when the writers of these songs, the writers, the lyrics, the music, the what have you, the writers, the people who own royalties, who maybe own the publishing or whatever they own with these songs, when LL Cool J does, when LL Cool J samples that, does he pay them to sample it?
Yes, he pays them, and
then they get a bit of everything that
the publishing, exactly.
Really?
Yeah. LL primarily make his money off of the live concerts. But he'll also...
So unless he's written, the money is in the writing and the publishing.
It's in the writing, and the writers of the song are the group Lakeside.
Which is, so when you have this, when people are confused about how singers end up broke, they end up broke because basically they don't write their songs. Somebody else is writing for them, and they tour. If they don't handle that money right, touring.
If you're not writing, then you have to manage your money from your tour dates, and if you don't manage that right, then bad things could happen.
And so that then means if you are not writing and you're touring, then you need to have good writers.
Exactly.
For the next go round.
Right.
But the way music turns over now, everybody is the next big thing. You get one, maybe two albums, two shots at it, and then you can go away into nothing.
Right. So,
you'd be working at Starbucks as a barista, messing around, and you had a hit 2 years ago.
Hey, it has happened. There's a lot of artists out there that have had hits that are policemen.
Who?
Firemen.
Who?
It's a few.
Okay, again, who?
Peaches and Herb. He was a policeman. Herb, yeah.
Really?
Yep. See?
That's crazy. You get pulled over by him and recognize him.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing it right now, but yeah.
They didn't tour?
They toured, but he just, I think things got kind of slow for him. And
your people got to eat.
He had to go get a job, a real job.
Hmm. Okay, who's the fireman?
Let me see who that might be. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, whatever.
We'll get back to
you. You don't want to tell.
Yeah.
You just don't want to tell.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Listen, if you all haven't figured out, he's a little silly. He likes he likes Mike Myers. We were talking about this today.
Austin Powell.
He will fucking quote movie dialogue to you for
that's not my ever. Movie.
Right. Out of nowhere you get that. And History of the World.
Oh my goodness. Well, you like History of the World too, Mel Brooks.
I like Austin Powers. Yeah. That's just your thing to go through it. But History of the World is funny. I bought that like a couple, 3-4 years ago, whenever it was. I found it someplace for like $3.
Yeah.
And thought it was a steal. I was like, oh, I'm going to get it. It was only one left, and I thought I was really getting it from somebody. I'm like, it's only one here, punk. There's a reason there's only one. They probably only ordered one just to see. And I was running people down to get to it, holding it in my hand like I was clutching gold to get that Joker home. And yeah. I don't even think I've opened it since I bought it. I just
Mel
wanted
Brooks
there.
Is one of the great
oh my God.
Comic writers of our time.
You know what? I think really watching, I was probably 14 or 15 years old or so when History of the World came out.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend Connie and I believe it was Connie, we would watch it and laugh our heads off. And that is probably at some point thereabouts, maybe a few years before, is when I realized I have an odd sense of humor. Because the stuff I think is funny, not necessarily everybody else thinks is funny.
See, and that's where we click at, because
right.
We kind of, you know.
Right. See. And just an FYI, a sidebar, that I recorded that girl with the big ladybug glasses on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't help it.
Oh, wow. Speaking of Mel Brooks, what about Young Frankenstein?
You know what? I've never seen Young
never
Frankenstein.
Seen that? Hilarious. You got to get it.
Yeah, I've never seen Young Frankenstein. Yeah. I love History of the World because, and at the time I got it, but you know, I never smoked.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't get the weed references like everybody else. Like, it doesn't mean as much to me, but I think it's hilarious when Gregory Hines then they get high, and he called it Wacky Weedus when they were being chased, and he rolled that big old joint up, and all that smoke was everywhere, and everything's so green.
It's stupid, man. What about Blazing Saddles?
I've seen Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great movie, too. I love that.
I told you the other day about that person that came in like Jimmy Walker in Let's Do It Again. Skinny and out of shape. Missed your shot at the title, sir. I don't even know where I got that from. Oh, which I've seen Let's Do It Again because, I mean, I own it. So sometimes I just get a wild hair. If I don't have anything else going on, I just lay in the bed or on the couch and watch all these crazy old movies. Let's Do It Again is hilarious
to me.
That's
a classic.
That bell.
Yeah.
Ding. I can't remember what his name was. Bootsy Farnsworth. Bootney Farnsworth.
Yeah. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Did I tell you I was downtown and I saw Antonio Vargas?
No, you didn't tell me that. You
it's signed? Been a few. Yeah, he was. I was. As a matter of fact, I was working. I had a client, and I can't remember which hotel it was. I was doing makeup.
You saw Huggy Bear.
Right, and Huggy Bear was hitting on me, and I told him, he was like, well, you know, can I get your phone number? No. What? No. Your son plays for the Raiders. No. He was looking at me like, what the hell does that have to do with anything? I go, I'm a Chiefs fan.
Right.
No.
He was absolutely
like,
no.
Right. He was like, are you that serious? Don't I sound serious? No. Your son plays with the hated Raiders. No, sir.
Is this son still in the league?
I don't know if he is or not.
Yeah. I don't think he is.
I don't know if he is or not, but he's he played for the Raiders for a couple seasons.
Yeah, for a couple
I guess
seasons.
His laptop is in front of me. I could Google all of this stuff, but we'll talk about that another day. But yeah, I saw him downtown and going into one of the hotels, and he was staring at me like I was crazy. Looking at me like, you sure? I saw you, and I'm going to get you, sucker. You had a yellow suit on with fucking...
with some
black and white tiger boa around it, and you had on goldfish in your shoes. I'm good.
That's a classic scene.
Right.
Classic.
Everybody else was dressed like they were straight in the 80s, early 90s, and he came out with his stuff that he went
classic.
In with.
That was classic.
He went in wearing it, and he came out
wearing
it. He had that big old hat on and was looking around at everybody, and he just basically decided, you know what, whatever, fuck it, and started his same pimp walk right on down the street. So I guess classic. You ain't got shit else to do.
Classic.
Yeah, so I talked to him and just, I mean, I've met a few people. Wayman Tisdale, so sad when he passed away.
Good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was very sad.
Yeah, he was in, I met he and his wife, Regina. Well, I met him here a couple times. They were when I was at work for Mac at the Galleria, and he came in, I think, with one of his daughters. Because, you know, he's written songs about his girls and Gabrielle, so I met her. And then they were, I was working with Cheryl Underwood in when I was in L.A.
She's crazy.
Yeah, I was Cheryl's in L.A. Great. All-Star Weekend. And he and his wife, Regina, were there. He was so nice.
Very nice.
So nice. And I loved listening to his music. No, we don't need to restart. And he, you know, it's funny, too, is that weekend that... we were there, All-Star Weekend, Magic Johnson had a fashion show, and Curtis Martin was there. You know I love Curtis Martin. Mm-hmm. I have loved him. I don't care. The Jets, the Patriots, I don't care. I love Curtis Martin. That is the finest black man. He is so fine. And I'm like, good Lord, we're at this fashion show, and I saw him, and I met him before in Tampa. I was there for the Super Bowl, but again, as you know, I had started reading Harry Potter, and it had me.
Right,
I couldn't get away from it. So we were going to this party, and I kind of misunderstood what was going on. It was like a watch party, and then there was a party afterwards. I didn't quite get what was happening. So I had on, like, jeans and a sweatshirt or something crazy like that. And I'm sitting there while the game is on, you know, and I can hear the game, but I'm reading this book, and I'll be damned if he don't walk his fine behind path. I was like, wow. I sure should took a picture with him, and then saw him again in L.A. when I was, you know, working with Cheryl, and I met Shaq's mother, and Johnny Gill was there.
Okay.
He wears a lot of Carmex. A lot of shiny lips there. I was like,
oh, wow.
That's interesting. You know, and there were several people there. I that particular weekend, I met Magic because you know how he was on TNT or TBS, TNT, I think it was, whichever.
Nice guy.
Right.
Very
that
nice.
We were there and that they were at the whatever that movie theater is. I think he had a theater. Outkast performed there.
Right.
They did two or three songs. And then, you know, TNT was doing their All-Star show. And so I was talking to my aunt on the phone, and my aunt and uncle love Magic Johnson, and he came walking toward me, and I was like, hang on just a second. I go, my aunt wants to talk to you, and handed him the phone, and he held a conversation with my aunt for like 3 or 4 minutes. And so when he handed me the phone, I was like, you know, I thanked him or whatever, and I get back on the phone, and she was like,
Was that Magic
Johnson? I was like, yeah. She goes, oh, my God. She can never figure out how I do the stuff that
I
do.
Right,
like, she's my favorite aunt, and we went to see Frankie Beverly and Maze, which is her favorite group, at a venue in Kansas City. And you know how they have the VIP section or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have VIP tickets, but we sat in VIP. And I was talking to the
You
dude.
Made it happen.
Right. I told her, I said, Auntie, because it wasn't full. I'm like, why are you making people? Why? I shouldn't have to sit behind that rope. It's making me feel bad. So, so I go, I grabbed a hold to my auntie. I said, Auntie, hold on, because it's going to go fast. And if you get locked, you're going to be out on the outside of this rope by yourself, because I'm not coming back out here. And I don't even know what I said to the dude. And he was like, yeah, blah. So I drug her. We went right on in there and sat down. And afterwards, she met the band, not Frankie, but she met everybody else and got her a champagne bottle, and everybody signed it. I think Frankie signed it. But so back to L.A., I'm at this fashion show. And, of course, Curtis Martin is there, and I'm like a deer in the headlights, sort of, because I'm looking, but I'm, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, let's see how this is going to work out. I fixed it, so I sat right next to his ass at the show. Oh, man. I was right next to him, but he was to my right, and Shaquille O'Neal's mother was to my left.
Wow.
And it was hilarious because she was like, you better say something to him. And I was like, you know, because I'm not going to just walk up and be like, hey, you know, I'm not like that. But I called my auntie on the phone. I was like, guess what I'm doing? Trying to hold the phone so he can't hear me. He can't hear me or see that I'm on the phone and talking to my auntie on the phone about it. So,
it's Curtis Martin.
Oh, my God. He's married to a woman, and he's got at least at that point. Well, after then is when he got married, but they have a daughter named Ava, which I think is a gorgeous name. And I'm like, this dude can't do nothing wrong. You know, I watched his stuff on the 30 for 30. And
he's great. He's a great running back.
You know what I did? And then we're going to do a thing I call Ask Bree. But you know, like a couple Sundays ago, I went to see, did you know Ice Cube does that Big Three?
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Big Three.
How was it?
Fantastic. You know who I love again?
Who?
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
I heard he's been balling out too.
Dude!
Yeah.
He is killing them fools.
48.
With them little bitty black man ankles.
Yeah.
He is killing them. When I tell you first of all, you know the deal. There's like eight teams and it's like a tournament and they play to a championship and blah, 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 whatever. Because I was like, what is the point? I don't understand what the point is. How are you going to get people to actually play?
Right.
But all the dudes obviously are former NBA players. Pretty much in really good shape. And the person that surprised me was Cuttino Mobley, because I ain't never had a thing for Cuttino Mobley, but he has aged well. That salt and pepper hair is doing it for me. But Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, same thing. Salt and pepper hair, his little goatee is salt and pepper. That little dude, though, when he plays, you know, it's like a half court thing. Do you watch any of the games?
I haven't seen any.
They have them on Fox Sports 1 or whatever, Fox Sports something.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, if they play on Sunday, the games will air on Monday, whatever the station is. I think it's FS1, I think, or FSN or whatever. But he, surprisingly, the games are competitive. You know, he's one of those dudes, like it's half court. They have like a four-point shot, so they have like either three or four circles that have the number four in them. You shoot it from there, it's a four-point shot.
Right.
You know, they do the three-point and then regular blah, 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 whatever. They have their own little rules. This dude, he's dribbling and, you know, he's got his body between he and the defender. The defender's not even up on him, but
Is this Mobley?
No, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and I like to say his name, so I'm going to say it all.
I know, and you got it down.
I love his name. That name is very powerful to me. But he, you know, he's dribbling, and he's kind of directing traffic, but he's got the ball kind of behind him because he's angled a little bit, so he's kind of doing his little deal or whatever. He threw the ball through a pass to this dude, and the dude wasn't ready for it, so it went between his hands. His body got rigid, and he looked at him like, what the fuck? I said, oh, he's serious. He's serious about this little game right here. He is not messing around.
What was the name of the teams? I mean, what are their names?
His team is a three-headed monster. Now, there's eight teams, and I will tell you, we got there in enough time, but we couldn't figure out where the hell we were sitting.
Right.
So once we got to where we were sitting, they then said, okay, well, no, you guys, they moved you downstairs or whatever. So they filled up, like, the floor. The lower bowl, and then the second bowl were full. And they had some people in the top, but they basically were letting, if you were up in the top, they'd let you move downstairs.
Now, where was this at?
American Airlines.
Okay.
So, we missed the first game. The first game was ending when we got there. So, I'm not sure the first two teams, but there's the three-headed monsters, which is Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's team. I love saying that name.
You got it down, too.
I love
Don't
his
ask
name.
Me to say it.
I love his name. But, you know what? Dr. J was a coach.
Okay.
Dr. J coached Charles Oakley, Gary Payton. Did I tell you about Gary Payton when I was in that club in Seattle?
No,
my girlfriend and I were in the club in Seattle. I think I said this last week. But my girlfriend and I were in the club in Seattle. And, you know, my girl, I don't have the smallest lips. But my girlfriend has full lips. And mm-hmm. Gary Payton was in this club. And we were walking past him. He said something or other about her mouth and sucking dick. It was about to be a fight in there. I turned to the fucking Wolverine and kill him. We both were. She was like, what? You know, she's from Brooklyn. And she was like, what are you talking about? I was like, let's hold my purse. Because here we go. We ready to get with him. Like, you go high or low, which one? Because whatever you got, I got the old man. It was about to be a fight.
Oh,
we was pissed at him.
Oh,
but he coached, let me see, Dr. J, Charles Oakley. What in the world?
Sorry.
Dr. J, Charles Oakley, Gary Payton, Clyde Drexler.
Okay, Clyde's a coach.
George Gervin.
Okay, so the commissioner has to be Ice Cube, right? Or the president or...
I guess, yeah. But the there's three teams, and I'm missing, you know what, let me do this since I do have my laptop sitting in front of me. I probably should Google something while it's here. But it's very, it's very good. It's very competitive.
How was attendance?
It was good.
Good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay.
It was a nice cross between people who were older, mm-hmm. who, you know, had actually watched them play in that era, and then, you know, them bringing their kids. Like, there was three white dudes that sat in front of us, but each one of them had on a jersey of an older player.
Okay.
You know, so they had one team was a three-headed monsters. You know what? I just need to look. Because I can't recall the name, but I know one of them, their logo is an eye, and it's really mean and red looking. I was like, ooh.
Oh, wow.
Right. Let me see. It was really good, though. It was, everybody played like that. Initially, I was like, why are they arguing with the refs? I don't understand what they're mad about. But then I started looking, and they were like, okay. They are playing. There's going to be a championship game. I guess they play 10 weeks, and then mm-hmm. they do like a semifinal and then the final. So they play for a championship. And these are all dudes who obviously were very competitive when they played. So they're still really competitive. Right. They're mad if they feel like the ref don't give them a call. And, you know, a couple people ended up in the floor. And I was like, ooh, what the hell is going on here?
Well, when you're a competitor, you're always a competitor.
Right.
Yeah.
And that little Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
You got his name down.
I swear to you, I love his name. It's such a great name.
But he's a great player, though.
He was the Colin Kaepernick before Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, he got the NBA blackballed him.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think
it's because of his religion. Or,
yeah, he's Muslim. Yeah. He also has Tourette's syndrome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, once I saw that, and I kind of lost track of him when he was playing, but once I saw that... saw the game or went mm-hmm. to the tournament, I got on YouTube and start, what in the world is going on here? How about that? I got on YouTube and actually started looking
mm-hmm.
at his stuff. And there's a story where he talks about, they talked to his mom. And she would say how no matter where he would go, if he took a bath, the basketball was next to the bathtub. If he ate dinner, the ball was on the floor next to his chair. And he was saying that his mother would get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to leave to go to work. He would get up and leave at 5.
Wow.
As a kid. Where the fuck are you going? You don't have a job. Where are you going, little fella?
Playing ball.
And was like 10 years old. Yeah. Like a little dude.
Yeah.
And he said he would play rain or shine. He would leave the house to go play, and it would be a thunderstorm. He said you could hear the thunder, and it would be pouring down rain, and he would go to the basketball court and shoot. And he said all he knew is he just realized he had to get his family out of that situation. He had to get his mother and his two brothers out of the situation. Well, he would say how he would shoot, how he would go to practice, and it was all day.
Mm-hmm.
all that. You know, he'd go to school and he'd leave school and he'd go shoot some more. And he would play against an invisible player. But he said that what happened is he, like when he started to develop Tourette's syndrome, it's a compulsive, obsessive compulsive behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, some people may tick, but the funny ones is when people cuss people out or say, mm-hmm. you know, sexually or racially insensitive shit. And you're like, that's kind of funny. But, you know, kind of not funny. But he didn't necessarily have that. He just kind of had a tick. Mm-hmm. Well, in one of the videos that I watched about him on YouTube, he talks about how it was a compulsion for him to play basketball. He would shoot free throws, or he would shoot from different places on the floor, and he would have to make X number in a row. And if he did, he'd just start over, and he would just keep going and keep going. And the way he talks about it, like, he never really got tired of it. And I really would love to ask him if that was his compulsion, mm-hmm. if that was not so much the thing that led him, that walked him into, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, Tourette syndrome, but I wonder if that was one of the ways that it manifested itself. Mm-hmm. Because he would play for hours and hours and hours and hours, and I was like, golly, that's crazy.
It may have been, because he's a great shooter. And
okay, here's the teams. Ghost Ballers, Mike Bibby's on that team, and he's the captain, and he should be, because he looks like a ghost. Tri-State, Power, Trilogy, Three's Company, Killer Threes, Three-Headed Monsters, and Ball Hogs.
Wow.
Yeah. And
those are unique.
Right. Three-Headed Monsters, Rashard Lewis, Kwame Brown, Eddie Basden, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and the thing, but they have more than those, like, four players. Mm-hmm. They may have, like, five or six players, I guess, on a team, so if somebody gets hurt and whatever. But they're very serious. Like, they have a draft and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, like, he was drafted number 17 overall. I'd like to check out. I'm not obsessed or anything.
I'd like to check out one of the games.
You missed it. You got to catch them on TV.
So they don't.
It's a 10-week deal.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's 10 weeks, yeah, and they start off in whichever city, and they have 10 cities that they go to, and this is like the first time that they've done it. But they have 10 cities that they go to, and then when they however many games that they're playing, then they do a semifinal and then a finals game mm-hmm. for the championship.
Okay.
So DeMar Johnson, Andre Owens, Mike Sweetney, I remember the name, Reuben Patterson,
okay,
and Al Thornton.
Al Thornton, okay.
You know what? Let me see. Brian Scalabrine, Josh Childress, Derek Byers, Moochie Norris, Xavier Silas.
Okay. I remember a couple of those names.
Chauncey Big Shot Billups.
Chauncey's playing.
Steven Jackson.
Yeah, Steven.
Reggie Evans, Mo Evans, and Brian Cook. Kendall Gill.
Okay, Kendall's playing.
Jerome Chicago Williams. Boy. And then the played on the Mavericks when they won the championship, Deshaun Stevenson.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Rasaal Butler and Katino Mobley. Kenyon Martin, local boy. Kenyon. Al Harrington, Rashad McCants, James White and Deion Glover, Mike Bibby, Ricky Davis, Larry Hughes, Marcus Banks, and Ivan Johnson. Jermaine O'Neal.
Is Eddie Robinson playing?
Mm-hmm. Wait.
I'm trying to see.
Bonzi Wells played.
Bonzi, okay.
Dominic McGuire, Lee Nalen, and Mike James. So
okay,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's when you – it's just really cool to go and see to just watch them play, to watch them to see that they – first of all, they're still in really good shape because mm-hmm. – Mahmoud is little bitty dude.
Right.
He's like 6'1". When he went to LSU, he was like 6'1", 165. I was like, I'll weigh that dude.
Yeah, but he's bad, though. He's bad.
Right. And I'm not saying I could D him up. I'm just saying I'll weigh him. let me see who the coaches are, because I feel like.
I saw Gary Payton on something. I think he was on
he was wearing painter pants.
Who, Gary Payton?
He had on painter pants.
Okay.
Let me see. I'll tell you who the coaches were. No. This has done something crazy. Not there. Julius Erving.
Dr. J.
He looks great, too.
Yeah. He One of my heroes.
Amazing. He looks amazing. Clyde Drexler looks really good, but okay. Dr. J is still in good shape. His body's tight. I had a dream the other night that I interviewed him, which was really weird. I woke up and I was like, what the hell was that about?
I had a dream the other night. Guess who was in it?
Not me.
Not you.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I just get you on the radio and say anything.
This is funny. Barney.
Barney who?
Don Knotts.
How does that even happen?
I don't know, but I just know in my dream I ran into him. I think it was at the bank or something.
At the bank? Dude, that's weird. Okay.
It really is.
Julius Erving. Allen Iverson, but he was a no-call, no-show. Charles Oakley, Gary Payton, George Gervin, Clyde Drexler, Rick Barry, and Rick Mahorn.
Okay, Rick Mahorn.
Those are your eight coaches.
Okay, Rick Mahorn's the coach? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I figured if Gary Payton was there, I don't know why Sean Kemp wasn't there playing somewhere. His son is in college, though. That's the rabbit hole I went down because I was like, well, where's Sean Kemp?
Yeah.
Because I was in Seattle when he was in Seattle, so I was like, what's going on?
He was bad when
right.
he played.
But his son plays somewhere in college, and evidently it's kind of good.
Right.
Okay, so now we're going to get to ask Bree. You get to ask me a question.
Any question that I want to ask Bree?
Within reason.
Oh, come on. You know.
You can ask me whatever. You know I don't care. I may or may not answer it.
Okay.
But you can ask it.
Okay, we're going to stick to the sports theme.
Okay.
Your favorite football player of all time.
Ooh. That's a tough one. Cause I like different players for different reasons.
They can't be on your home team either.
Not the Chiefs.
Not the Chiefs.
You know what? I'm going to say, because it would be really hard for me to go through this my mental Rolodex to do it, but I'm gonna say it because I just saw this person Sunday.
Okay.
When I was listening to you play, T.O.
Oh.
I love him.
You did mention that. Okay.
I love T.O.
T.O.'s a bad boy.
I love T.O. He's a great dude.
Great player.
I don't know why people have a problem with him crying. It doesn't bother me in the least little bit. I just think he's really, really passionate about what he's doing.
Right, right.
You know, I'd rather he be on my team playing for me than me play against him.
That's a good pick, T.O.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I like T.O.
Curtis Martin. Curtis is probably first, but I ain't got a shot at him, so I'll take T.O.
Okay, now, which one from my team, the greatest Chicago Bear ever?
Sweetness.
Okay.
Sweetness, of course.
You got it. Okay.
I told you, you know, I have a friend, Brian Song, Brian mm-hmm. Piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend whose father is Brian Piccolo's cousin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, Piccolo, that's not that's an unusual last name,
yeah,
you know?
And yeah.
Because I've been, so I was like,
is that
I play
Italian?
A flute.
Piccolo? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's his dad's first cousin, I believe, with Brian Piccolo.
And Brian Piccolo went to Wake Forest. That's where he.
I don't know about that. I'm not getting into that.
He went to Wake Forest, and Gale Sayers went to Kansas.
I don't know.
I do.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it. Again, I'm not going to look on this computer that's basically in my lap, but I'll take your word for it. But obviously, Walter Payton, Sweetness.
Sweetness, you got it. Okay, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite Kansas City Chief of all time?
Wow.
Derek?
No. You know what? That's interesting. I could probably give you top three in no particular order because you know I have a friend that's really she was really good friends with Derek Thomas.
Okay.
So
okay. Top three.
Priest Holmes. Derek Thomas. And Priest, Derek, and...
What about back in the day?
Lynn Dawson.
Lynn Dawson.
Lenny.
Yeah.
You know, it's great if you, like, you know, because I go to a bar and watch the games, but mm-hmm. if you ever listen to it on the radio, like if you log on to 101 KCFX, 101 The Fox, and mm-hmm. listen to Lynn Dawson, especially if they're losing, oh, he's so funny. He's so funny. He's so dejected with the shit that they're doing. And he's like, well, I don't understand why they don't just throw the ball down the field. He's so funny to listen to. It's hilarious. It's great to listen to him.
He's still very passionate about
Oh, absolutely. He does not.
And about the Chiefs.
Yes, yeah. Hall of Famer. He is in. He does the radio every weekend, the radio yeah. show every weekend. He, you know, he does the call on the radio.
Right.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious in a very funny way in that he's still there. His mind is still sharp. Mm-hmm. And if the same shit everybody else is frustrated about, if they won't throw the ball, like they're going, well, Alex Smith, they won't throw the ball down the field. And Alex, yeah. and everybody's pissed at Alex Smith because he won't throw the ball down the field. And, you know, Lynn may say, oh, well, there's such and such. And he's, you know, down the field and he's da-da-da. He goes off. It is hilarious to listen to him. I think, too, probably, I like Jamal Charles, which he's recently no longer with us, and not as in dead, but
he's a bad boy,
and he's tiny.
Yeah,
he's tiny.
He can fly though,
right?
Yeah,
he's just little, you know. And you know who I saw not this past season, but the season before? We went home for a party for my uncle, and we went to a Chiefs game, and they played the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, my family members got together. Of course, I'm the only girl at the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, we were tailgating and whatever. So we were close to where the teams come in. Like there's a tunnel where the visitors team, they park the bus and they get off and they walk in the tunnel. And the Chiefs players, obviously, they pull up in their vehicles and they go how they go, you know, just go in the tunnel or whatever. So, of course, I have my phone out. So I want them to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they'll go in and be playing you off. They will play you so cold. And so basically what I did is start yelling at people. So when I would see them, I go, hey, you, declare yourself. So then they're looking like, who the fuck is this crazy bitch up here screaming, declare yourself? And guess who declared themselves? Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy.
I was like, is this where you went?
Well, he's a coach now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it. So I done screamed at Eric Bieniemy, declare yourself.
That's funny, declare yourself.
Right. And I screamed it at everybody, and they all kind of looked, and they would laugh and say whatever. And there was one of the officials there, and, you know, whatever. And we were just talking, but I was really surprised. Like, I recorded all of it, but Eric Bieniemy, he is like a running backs coach or something like that. I was like, wow.
He was nice in college.
Right.
I think he went to.
He was good when he played in the league.
Colorado? He went to Colorado.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But he was good in the league. Yeah. And I was like, wow. He's right under my goddamn nose in Kansas City. But I never pay attention to the coaches either.
Right.
Now, I mean, I know the head coach and I know the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. Beyond that, I don't really care.
You're a diehard Chiefs fan.
Yeah, just do your job. I told you, you know, when they played in London 2 years ago, I went to the game in London.
Right.
Bought a random ticket to the game.
They played Detroit?
Yes, yeah. They did. Okay. We smashed them. We beat Megatron.
He retired after that.
Fine with me. As long as I got to see him. Because he's fine. That is a lot of real estate there. A lot of fine real estate. So, I bought my ticket to London, you know, and I had stuff planned that I was going to do. I bought a random ticket to the game. But my objective is whenever I play, and I did it when we played Cleveland, whenever I go home to Arrowhead, I want the closest ticket I can get, and I want to be on the Chiefs' side.
Right.
So I there's like two sections that I sit in all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm in London, get this random seat, and I took the train to Wembley Stadium. So when I get there, I'm sitting down, there's like a group of chicks, like there's pretty much, they're all white women, and I'm sitting, you know, there, and mm-hmm. they're all to my right or whatever, and kind of going on. And there's this one, and you could tell she's got a little something going on, but I was like, what is happening with all these chicks over here? This little one, she's a little blonde, and she had on like maybe a black jacket or black top or something. She had on red leather pants that had two zippers on each pocket, like one above the other. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is this old white lady in these red leather pants? What is going on? You know, my mind is going because I'm thinking of all the funny shit I could say. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we keep going. Turns out these are all the coaches' wives.
Wow.
The woman in the red pants is Andy Reid's wife.
Wow.
And the woman sitting right next to me, we were at the airport together. When I got off the plane, I left one of my bags, like a carry-on, mm-hmm. so that I had to wait for them to go get the bag. And at Heathrow, they'll let you off and you get on a bus depending on, you know, how where the plane lands, whether you go to a gate or not. So they, when we get off, we get on this little shuttle to go in. Well, they move the plane out. So then they got to go all the way back out to the plane to get my bag and blah, blah, blah. So I'm talking to this woman. I don't know who this chick is. You know, we just had very casual conversation and kind of went on about our business. And, you know, Chiefs players started to come in, but they were like the B team or mm-hmm. whoever. They weren't any, mm-hmm. no starters because I know what they look like. So, you know, I'm waiting to get my bag. So I'm there and I get my day started. I go, I'm taking a cooking class. I learned how to make sushi in London. So I did a cooking class and I'm doing all this different stuff and I got going on and blah, 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 whatever. So when I get to the game, I'm sitting down and it's the woman that was at the airport next to me. So she was like, yeah, I think I saw you at the airport. I was like, yeah. So we get to talking. I'm sitting next to all the Chiefs' wives.
Wow.
All of them. And we're like five rows up or whatever. And then she was like, well, that's the one game. Like they don't travel with the team. Their husbands do. But if they want to go to the games, they buy tickets. So mm-hmm. that was the one game that they all decided that they wanted to go to where they could, you know, get tickets and go. So they all got tickets and went to that game.
Wow.
And then we smashed the Lions.
Oh, that's right.
We were losing until we smashed them. I was like, if I paid all this money for this goddamn ticket to go to London and they lose to Detroit, I'm going to be sick to my stomach.
Well, my team put you guys on a winning streak after we smashed you guys.
Shut up. Anybody asked you?
Well, look. The good thing about that, we beat you guys. And after that, you went on like a 10-game winning streak.
So losing to you all is what propelled us to win.
But you said it. I didn't.
Whatever.
It happened.
I'm not fooling
Chicago
you.
Chicago Bears and Jay Cutler.
Whatever.
Propelled the Kansas City Chiefs.
I hear we got a sweet quarterback now, though.
You got
that little dude.
The kid from, I can't think of his name.
Hold on, I'm going to look for him, too, because now I can't think of his name now that I brought it up. I'm trying to sound like I know something about football. Chiefs quarterback.
What is his name?
I'll tell you in a second. Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes. He went to Texas Tech.
Did he?
Yep.
Well, evidently he's impressive.
Yeah, he's bad. His dad was a pitcher for the Cubs.
Really?
Yeah. Yipper.
Now I want to see how long they keep Alex Smith.
Alex ain't going nowhere, but Mahomes is like...
I wouldn't have a problem with Alex being the backup. I'm good with that.
I like Alex. Like you know what you're getting in him. He's experienced.
He manages the game.
Yeah,
I like that.
He doesn't have a big arm, but he ain't going to make no silly mistakes.
I like that. I think he's a game manager.
Man, we're talking about football. See?
What?
Only with Bree.
This is your ask, Bree. You started talking about football. But I like Alex Smith. I don't like that people talk bad about him.
Well, I want to ask you about your favorite player.
30 seconds.
Besides, you know, the Chiefs.
Besides a Chief player?
Yeah.
I mean, there's several. I really do like T.O.
I like T.O.
Because he's easy to look at. That's for damn sure. But I like the fact that T.O. plays and he plays hard. And if you come for his quarterback, he's laying it out for his quarterback. I don't know why people get all uptight. I figured he was really passionate about it. And quite frankly, I'm a Cowboy hater. But I did like the fact that he ran and stood on a star.
That was funny.
Because they were upset about that. But I don't know if I told you, but I was in Eatsy's one day, and Cowboys coach, the big ginger. What's his name? I can't think of his name. The head coach.
Jason.
Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
I ran into him at Eatsy's.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I gave him the business.
Nice guy, though.
Very nice.
Very nice, okay.
Very nice. He was like, you got a really big personality. I go, what does that mean? You want to hire me for something? What are we talking about here? Big enough to get a job? What do you mean?
Stop it.
I don't want to work in the organization like that, but if you pay me enough money, I guess
you
I'll
do
sport.
It. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I'll right. wear it, but I will always have my Chiefs gear on up under
up
it.
Up under it.
Because I can't fool with that. But yeah. So, look, it was pretty painless today, wasn't it?
It was painless. I had fun with you, Bree.
Well, and we're going to see you next week. Then you come back with
we'll
Fred.
We'll do it again next week.
So
and
we
I'll
get
bring
to get in. Yes, we get
Fred
to get
Alexander.
In. I'm expecting some phone calls. You need to call some people. I think you need to call Skip on the phone.
We'll see if we can get Skip.
I think you need to start priming the pump today.
Today, I see.
You need to hang up. Well, we walk out of here, you need to call him.
It depends on where he's at in the world right now. And we'll see.
He's in Detroit. And I don't know, I just said Detroit. But, yeah, we, so I wanted to do your bit, but I also wanted to talk about Lakeside. But we'll get to Fred and Lakeside next week, because then I'll have all my questions lined up and I'll be ready to go and have the music. Yeah, I have all the music ready. I'll be ready next week.
And then you'll get, I'm pretty sure Fred is going to give you a history lesson.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's time for me to get off here.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Eddie G. We are Bree TV on theafterparty.com, THAAFTER.com. On the B side, look for the lady with the newscaster hair, the real estate agent hair, at Bree TV. And 6 to 8 p.m., we will see you on the radio next Wednesday.
Bye-bye now.
Brother, call a girl a bitch, you're a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cut off shorts on, right? Cause it was